If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in every Wednesday at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Axar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny. Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Axar Command. This evening we have a very wonderful topic, and it is, you are a spiritual warrior. The lens that we are going to be using of consciousness tonight is the spiritual traveler consciousness. And we all have the spiritual consciousness of the traveler within us. It is that part that transcends whatever the earth brings against us into pure spirit and awareness. So we're going to do, to begin with, a clearing exercise. This is a very simple way to call yourself forward in the totality of your empowered life stream. Take a deep breath and call yourself forward from the very highest positive realms of divine spirit right down through your monad, your I Am presence, your soul, your high self, and down into your physical vehicles of consciousness, down into the soul star in the center of the earth. Bring it up and be filled, surrounded, and protected by the light of Christ, by the light of the Holy Spirit, and push all that light now from within out, and dissolve any negativity into the violet flame and into the neutral nothingness of the all that is, that is the all that is. And now stabilize your consciousness here and now multidimensionally and be present. Our story, beloveds, is as a family of light, and very specifically as the traveler's family of light. We are ancient spiritual warriors, and our battle is simply with the sword of the heart, the sword of spirit, the sword of the word of God, which is truth. In the divine realms, beyond time and space and duality, we all took ancient vows. And we came forward as sons of sacrifice. That's what the soul is called in the ancient teachings, a son of sacrifice. And we chose back because we were chosen from the very foundation of the world, but we had to choose back. And in the choosing back, we came to earth, and here we are. But we come as celestial emissaries, as visitors, as tourists, just passing through. There is truly nothing here for you, beloved. There is only the testing of the temper of your spirit. And in that testing, you overcome and master all those areas that heretofore have not been addressed in the crucible of life, in which you are literally crucified upon the cross of time and space, positioned as Christ consciousness between being and becoming. So as we move forward from that cross and emerge as the resurrected Christos, as the awakened, as the resurrected sons of God, we stand forward as those who have chosen to transcend the negativities of this and other worlds, and to be victorious in establishing this planet, Earth, in Christ consciousness. Now, we have done this at other times and other places. Most recently, many of us came in the seeding of consciousness into this planet with the souls that came from Venus. Yes, we were those souls that came as the Traveler's family of light. And we came with the one known as Emmanuel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the teacher alike of angels and of men. He has been called many names, but I think by now you recognize him as the one we know as the Most Radiant One, or Sananda Kumara. And so many of us are of what is called the family of Kumaras. These are the princes and the princesses of the divine throne realms, often called the Holy of Holies and the School of the Divines. We come in specifically to bring truth and light, and we often pay for that in many of our lifetimes. In fact, most of them in the past, we have in one way or another come against what is called the loyal forces of the opposition, that oppositional force that comes to counter the light, known in each of the various traditions under different names. But you know what I'm referring to. And often we have paid with our lives or our eyesight or our tongues, having our tongues removed, or our freedom being incarcerated. And yet, as we die each time and are born into the world of spirit again, we choose again and again to be descended again into this world, which is really to die. It's really to be with Christ in the higher worlds is to live. And really, to be born into the physical body is to die. We have to die to the knowledge of who we are at those higher levels. We have to die to the eternal love and the beauty and the radiance and the empowerment that the Christos, the cosmic Christ that we are in our collectivity, we have to die to all of that. We have to sacrifice it. We have to be veiled. And so we're totally not aware of who we truly are. And yet, it's interesting because when we're born, when we first come into this life, if you haven't totally numbed out through shock, I came in with a very clear knowledge and recall of my celestial origins. I didn't have a name for them, but I had a very clear recall of them. And so, here we are again. And where are we exactly? Well, Venus, or the bright and morning star, the day star, the Lord of Venus, the Most Radiant One, is the one who came to Earth that we call the Christ, or Jesus. He embodied as the Master Jesus. And he is the King of those higher realms. He is the Lord, you might say, the overall authority for the divine throne realms. Not necessarily the lower dimensional aspects of those planets, because they all come under a different energy field. But I'm talking about that lineage of consciousness that comes from the Holy of Holies and the School of the Divines, right out of the heart of the highest positive realms of spirit. There are names for that, but I don't want to get you caught up in names. But just know that different traditions will call that different things. Let's call it the Atma, the Paramatma, the plane of Paramatma. That's a good one. That's universal enough. We can all relate to that. So Christ consciousness in the Golden Age was established on Venus a long time ago by the action of the Christ and the Kumaras. And then the life moved in a wave to Earth. And Earth now is coming and has been progressing through the ages to the point when it is now ready to move into what has been called the New Jerusalem, which descends like a bride from heaven, fully adorned. The New Jerusalem is actually a celestial city that has been present all the time as a consciousness zone that we could tap into. But now it is becoming the experiential reality of more and more souls who suddenly find themselves awakening and able to see the world through a very different lens of consciousness. And you might say that is awakening to the one beloved that we all are. There is only the one beloved. I spoke of it last week as the unified field using the lens of quantum physics and quantum mechanics and quantum consciousness. But tonight we're looking at it in terms of us as the grunt team, the ground-based commanders that form the spiritual legions of light from age to age. There's a wonderful book by a contactee, a physical contactee, for the Ashtar Command and Venusians. And that was a man that I met years ago when we both lived in Santa Barbara, and his name was George Hunt Williamson. And he wrote, I think, the best UFO books that were available in the 50s in that genre. And he wrote a book called The Road in the Sky about the goodly company. And the goodly company are those spiritual warriors that are born from age to age as a family of light. All of us in this family of light have been born and lived at the major strategic points of consciousness advancement on this planet. Oh, we've had a few incarnations in between that weren't that, too. But we all show up when the rubber hits the road and we're really up against the loyal forces of the opposition. And every hand on deck is needed to keep that even keel and that ship from going under. And so we are in that time when the final battle is being waged for the soul of man, the consciousness of man. And it's the Armageddon, which I've spoken about in other programs. But tonight I'm going to be looking at it through a very different lens. And the Armageddon, or the Kurukshetra, as it's called in the Vedic teachings, is always the battle between the divine forces within us and the demonic forces within us, or Christ and Satan, or ego and spirit, or spirit or ego, or light and darkness. There's always that polarity going on. But move that now into the realm of mind, into the consciousness that's pervading the earth right now. We have this consciousness that we are all bathed in and indoctrinated to tuck into in some manner. There's no way we can live apart from the stream of consciousness and the warp and woof of the belief systems that have formed our generation of people and our generation of souls. We have come to this point in time and space, bloodied and scarred from the battles of all the history of this planet. Everything has come down. We have played a role in some form, sometimes as the light worker, sometimes as the darkness worker, because we've worn both hats. You have to have experience of both polarities in order to say that you can walk between them in that neutral zone, which is the traveler. The traveler consciousness is the divine line of neutrality, or viragya, in between those pairs of opposites, and yet it weaves back and forth, so it is able to blend and integrate both, so we don't come into another polarization, which locks us in duality. So we walk in that in-between stage where we're against nothing, and yet we're ruthless in the adherence to truth. And even at our best worst, when we're flat on our face and down for the last count, we will muster that strength to stand up and go the distance. That's inbuilt in our nature. That's what makes us a spiritual warrior. So yeah, we're like the alley cat with a half chewed off ear and part of our fur is missing and our tail's been broken and we're looking a little cockeyed. But man, touch us, you know, touch the truth of the beloved within us, and all of a sudden the Lion of Judah is present, you know, with eyes of fire. So we are that ancient one who has come again. And as we complete the establishment of the kingdom of light on earth, as I have addressed in almost every one of my most recent shows, we now can open our eyes and choose to see that we are living in the ascended state in the New Jerusalem. At the same time that we're called to relinquish everything that's gone before, the Mayans say that we're entering into this time, or we've already entered into this time of no time, and no conditioning, so that we are free to co-create out of our spirit instead of out of the default setting of the ego's momentums. For the first time, we have freedom of soul, and we have been set free through the Christ action of redemptive grace. That's why we can lay it all aside and move into the atonement through the Christ action and step free of all of it and live a new life as if we were truly born again of the Spirit. That's really what that means, to be born again. And the proof of it is that you're no longer the same person. You don't even see through the same eyes. Now, many of you have had what I call in my work a future self overlay, or maybe more appropriately, a future self integration, to where all of a sudden you feel like who you were just, oh gosh, maybe a month ago or a year ago, you're not that person anymore. And you may be trying to do some of the same behaviors, but they're going flat. You're not feeling, it's like ginger ale that's out in a glass overnight. There's no bubbly in it anymore for you. And you're wondering, what's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. It's what's right with you. You have moved into the New Jerusalem. You just haven't realized it yet. It takes a while for your eyes to begin to see in a new way, because we see through the lens of our conditioned consciousness. That's why we're told in meditation to transcend that linear mind and to go into that pure awareness of spirit, which has no thoughts and no conditioning and no history and no past. That's why we're being taught to learn to let go. You can't go into the New Jerusalem carrying your old luggage and wearing your old clothes. Those of you that have told me that you've had dreams of being nude, that's a good thing. You are nude. You don't have those old veils covering you. You don't have any private parts that need to be held separate from the vision of anyone else. You have learned how to live a life turned inside out. And there's no fear, so there's no need to protect or to defend against. You walk in what's been called that little child that lives in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is who you are, and it's what you are, and it's what enters when you walk into the room. You are the kingdom of heaven come. So our task now is we're down to the nitty-gritty, and the old, let's say, entrenched forces that have been in opposition to this freedom of spirit are now throughout the world in strategic positions where their choices can advance us either to our detriment or our betterment. And we know that as light workers, which is why we're very vigilant now as we lend our energy of support to things or we refuse to enter into those things. It's part of that discerning that a spiritual warrior has where it's a worthy battle or it's a waste of time. So our own personal weaknesses is what bait the bear and set us up to encounter the very tests and temptations that we face in our daily life. We call our fears to us to be faced and transcended. And generally, there's five areas, often called the five passions of the mind, that form what we would call the collective false self or ego self or limited self. And you have desire and lust. You have anger and impatience. You have greed and avarice. You have envy and coveting. And then you have ego or the separative self, which brings with it vanity, pride, arrogance. And all of those five spell out illusion or maya or samsara itself. And where we're weak in these areas, okay, the old saying is, never pray for patience, because guess what you get? A lot of irritating people who test your patience. And so if we tend to be impatient, we're going to be put in continual positions where we're going to have to wait and be delayed and things of that nature. So I think you catch our drift here. But because the New Jerusalem has fully descended, then that means, as I have assumed and speculated in previous shows, and now I know it is true, we have already been raptured or caught up into the Christ consciousness, which is soul transcendence. We have already, as spirit, as soul, been caught up in a higher consciousness, or raptured, so to speak, which is to be seized or snatched very quickly. And we've been told by some of our extraterrestrial friends and Ashtar that the shift right now that Earth is going through is much more rapid than what occurred on Venus, which took place gradually over a couple hundred years or so. But on Earth, basically, it has taken place in a 20-year period of time. And the end of that 20-year period will, as many of you know, be 2012. So the New Jerusalem has fully descended, and we have just a couple few years to fully move in and get adjusted. Now, while that is taking place, the loyal forces of the opposition are trying in every way they know how to distract or to undercut or undermine or get you off of that in any way they can. Some people have been tested to where they're trustworthy. They're not going to fall into those guises or traps of the dark forces. And others are being tested because, as I've said before, we are moving into a fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional version of the Earth, the Terra Christa, I call it, the Christ Star Earth. And so you have the fifth dimension, which is living love, people who can be in the resonance of living love. That's their natural vibrational state. Then you have the souls that are in Christ consciousness, which is the sixth level or dimension. And then you have those rare souls who have actually become Christed, one with Christ. And they move in to the seventh dimension, which is where many of our ascended masters, so-called ascended masters that you're familiar with from various New Age and metaphysical schools, many of them are right now being tested. The ascended masters themselves are being tested now to see if they can graduate into that seventh level, because most of them are sixth degree initiates, and the seventh degree of initiation, of course, is in terms of light, is the Christ initiation. So every one of us right now is in severe testing. Don't go to sleep. Every moment you are being tested. Every little subtle thought, because remember, the battle is in the mind, in the realm of the mind. It's between the lower mind or the ego mind and the Christ mind. And the teacher, mediator in that, is the Holy Spirit, who stands as the intercessor for you to help guide you through that. That is the neutral energy, or the traveler energy. You could call the traveler energy the action of the Holy Spirit, and it's not far off. It's a little different than that, but let's just call it the action of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be in the ballpark there. So the Earth is becoming a Christ-conscious planet. And our predecessor in that, and our model, and our mentor, if you will, is the planet Venus and the civilization that was on Venus. And so many of you have a very strong connection to that. And also, those of you who find yourself strongly connected to my information and or to me as a person, or as a spirit, let's put it that way, not necessarily as a person, but as a spirit, you almost go without saying that you're part of the Traveler's family of light. And no doubt at all, are part of the team of players that have agreed to come together in this guise. And, you know, my guise has been the Ashtar Command, Ashtar Galactic Command. And, you know, that's one arena, but certainly not a limiting one, because it's just a metaphor for the consciousness intention that we have to bring peace to Earth. We are the guardian action of peace, as the Ashtar Command. So we are that, let's say, that insertion of peaceful energy amidst the roaring seas of conflict. And in that, we are quite recognizable to each other. I think we all know each other. I know I have never met any of you that I felt totally for the first time. So the first thing that happens to all of us is that we come in with a deep inner longing. And with that deep inner longing, we have a high self that is placed with us at birth, and the high self is not your soul, but it stands like an archetype, which is like an embodiment, symbolically speaking, of what your soul's destiny imprint is for each lifetime. And I think probably the clearest depiction of archetypes is found in the Edward Waite tarot card deck. In the major and minor arcana, you have the hermit, the high priestess, the hierophant, the king, the queen, you know, that. And most of us understand the symbology in the Edward Waite tarot deck because we have come through all the mystery schools. We've been in the hermetical mystery schools. We've been in the Egyptian, in the Kabbalistic, in the Mayan, in the Grecian. We've come through all of those mystery schools, the Hebraic, and almost it goes without saying we have had incarnations in Atlantis and America, North America is, and probably South America too, is actually the new Atlantis. So many of the patterns that we see working out in the vying for power and leadership and control and, you know, the whole thing that we have to deal with as Americans with the soul nature of America, which is very, very benevolent and altruistic and kind and will be there for anyone in any kind of disaster. And then you have the ego self that is like a teenager with a lot of testosterone and hormones driving him or her, but without the wisdom to know really how to govern it. So you have a young nation with an ancient imprinting upon it and a call to a great destiny, which is assured because Sai Baba said that in terms of the Kurukshetra model, America represents Arjuna, that pure spiritual warrior, that even though he is smaller in number than the Kauravas or the demonic forces, still he and his brothers, the Pandavas, win the battle. So at some point we may actually find ourselves in a small group actually having to act out this on the physical plane. I don't think we're going to go there. I think that has been set aside. But again, it depends on the choices made by people in government and the people as a collective and what they are supporting. So again, it's not a time that we can go to sleep on any level. So from life to life, we tend to incarnate with each other in groups, and we've played every role that you can imagine in life together. So the story of the spiritual warriors is your story, it's my story, and it's our story. And we'll just bring it back a little bit to the beginning. 18.5 million years ago, the Venusian lords of the flame came to Earth from Venus to spark consciousness. This was Sanat Kumara, Sananda Kumara, and Sanaka Kumara, and those in the Kumaric family. And Sanat Kumara, as you know, became the king of Shambhala and is the ruling head of the planet, the logos of the planet. And then you had the celestial and the celestial and planetary lords of light that came in to form the spiritual brotherhood of light that has been governing consciousness. But they lived outwardly and openly on the planet up until, for quite a while, up until the end of Atlantis. And I'm going to just start our story with the Atlantean. We're going to skip Lemuria for right now and just go with Atlantis, because the major karma we're seeing right now in the world being worked out is Atlantean. And it's safe to say that all of us that are light workers, we were there in Atlantis. Atlantis was a gift of the spiritual hierarchy to evolving humanity. And when the Venusian Kumaras came 18.5 million years ago, they took the upright bipeds that were indigenous to Earth and sparked consciousness in them, and they became Homo sapiens. And so the Homo sapien is the being that can know its own God consciousness. It can know its own self as one with spirit. At the same time, the loyal forces of the opposition, under their leader, Satan, also was watching, and they were jealous that humankind had the potential of becoming as gods. In fact, the scriptures say they were created a little lower than the angels, but the actual translation from Hebrew means we were created a little lower, or actually earth human, was created a little lower than God. Interesting, huh? And so when it says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect, again, that word in Hebrew, in the exact translation, implies completion, not perfection. Because the only thing perfect on earth is who you are as a spirit, not who you are as a body, or a mind, or an emotional pattern. Those aren't perfected, those are transcended with that greater component that you are. So the consciousness was sparked, and then you had what is called the missing link, because the bipeds that were walking the earth at the time had come from the previous, had incarnated from the previous life zone, which was the moon. So you had lunar humanity, and some within that lunar humanity were sparked with higher consciousness. Not all, but some. A lot. So these would be the awakened humanoids that are on planet Earth today. I don't exactly put us in that category because we are actually indigenous of other planetary worlds. Many of us have come down from higher states of consciousness and are here basically on loan as Earth volunteers. So I don't necessarily equate us with Earth humanity, although we certainly don't want to put ourselves as separate from them. So we'll just own the whole thing and then we'll be done with it. We're definitely having an Earth experience, let's put it that way. So the plot was drafted, along with the divine plan, was the demonic plot to thwart, distract, supplant, and if possible, defeat the divine plan, and to destroy the planet in the process. That would be Satan's agenda, is to destroy the planet, because he's a sore loser. If he can't have it, if he can't have dominion, then he'd just as soon take you down and destroy the planet along with it. So his plan would be to get us to fight until we, you know, destroy ourselves. And the celestial and the divine is to move our consciousness beyond that possibility, awaken us to the point that we don't buy into that lure. So we're in a collective testing right now. I did a whole show on moving from againstness to peace. And that would be another way of looking at the same thing. So the loyal forces of the opposition are actually more organized than the light forces. And because of that, they won in Atlantis. They actually won, and Atlantis was destroyed in a series of earthquakes, volcanoes, and submergences. The last two that occurred were 10,000 years ago, and the most recent was 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, which we have recorded throughout the world as the flood. So at that time, the spiritual hierarchy, which had been externalized and living openly with people, retreated 94,000 years ago. And the order of Melchizedek sealed access beyond the earth sphere and the earth's subtle bodies. We were locked here. We were hunkered down, slam dunked into the third dimension, and our planet Earth was put under quarantine. So many of us felt like we were definitely imprisoned here, and we have been. Earth, to the Ashtar Command, has always been called the planet Saros, or the planet Sorrow, or Shan. And that's Shan is like a Venusian word that means darkened child. So we are now moving Saros and Shan into Terra Crista, the Christ Star planet, and that's our duty. So the groups of Atlanteans at that time were forewarned by the prophets and oracles of those days, and they moved forth and they colonized Egypt and Greece and South America and the Agartian community inside planet Earth, including Telos, North America, South America, and so forth. And that's why the civilizations, the burial rites and the initiatory rites, are all very similar in all of these various civilizations. So we incarnated in turn within these civilizations, and here we are in New Atlantis today. So we're right down to the very, very last battle, and we're going to see an increase of UFO sightings. Things coming up out of the ocean, things coming out of mountains, globes of light. Different beings are going to try to grab your attention. As I've said many, many times, you have to discern the spirits because there are those that are part of the fallen Nephilim. Sometimes they're called in the Bible, they were called the Sevenites, you know, the Amorites and the Jebusites and, you know, all those different ites. That the Elohim at that time demanded they all be destroyed and everything burned. And anyway, read your Old Testament if you want to catch up on that. But and also they were called the sons of Anu or the Anunnaki. These are the Satanelles, or the fallen ones. The head of the Satanelle forces, according to Dr. Hertak, was a name that's familiar, Sannyasi. So many of these come as beings of light, as beautiful light bearers, as beautiful entities that just want to channel love and light and goodness. But the energy is distorted a little bit because that the loyal forces of the opposition are extremely seductive. And they will catch you in your ego or in your self-importance or in your weakness or in your gullibility or in your stupidity, where you just keep following outer channels and outer voices of truth, and you never go within and check out the information for yourself. So they keep you numbed out and lacking in conscious choice, conscious awareness, or they will get you ensnared in some sort of agenda, which is generally playing upon your desire for power or money. There's a lot of these funding projects that they're dangling in front of us that, you know, if you haven't conquered the desire for wealth, the desire for money, for the separate self, chances are you're going to bite on the bait. So be aware, be smart, and check out the stuff that is out there, and don't just because it says it is of the divine light, don't swallow it. You got to test the spirits to see if they be of God. And again, your discerning is, who do you say Jesus Christ was or is? Who is Christ to you? And if they put up that shield or that negativity, then you know they're not of the light. Because every single being that's of the light will confess the name of Jesus with no problem at all. They will say, I have come in the name of the Most Radiant One, or Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sevayot, Melo, Kol, Haaretz, Kevodo. I come in the name of the Lord, blessed is the name of the Lord. Or the name of Vishnu. You know, there are many, many beings that have come through the office of the Christ that they all serve the Christ. They're all in that Christ lineage, but they may not be in a Christian valence. They may be Vedantins, they may be Buddhists, they may be Zoroastrians, they may be Muslims. There is a certain discerning of the spirit that has nothing to do with a religious label. That is just man's concoction. All of the lords of light are the lords of light because they are of the light and of the truth. So don't assume the label is necessarily accurately placed with a consciousness until you've tested them and see what their fruit are, what their fruit is. What is the fruit of their life? Is it love, joy, peace, upliftment, positivity? And if it isn't, be aware, because that path, the path of loyal opposition, is extremely broad. And most people are on that. That's the path of the personal self and getting things for the personal self. And the path of spirit is the path of the spiritual warrior. It's like a razor's edge, and it's very narrow, and few there are that find it. Ultimately, not one soul will be lost. God loves all of its creation. Out of God comes all things. So ultimately, at the end of all of this game, we'll all take off our hats, our black hats, our white hats, our gold caps, or whatever we got on, and we'll all stand as the unified beloved, as the one light and sound of God given manifestation in time and space through the many. But until then, there's a game going down, going on down here. And if you like games, you probably can enjoy this very much, because it's a game of discernment, of wits, of intelligent application of spiritual keys that will set you free if you use them. And if you don't use them, you'll find yourself sitting in a little miserable ego prison of your own making and not doing much of anything but chaffing at the bit, so to speak. So your spiritual warriorship tonight, as you're listening to this show, is being activated and quickened and decoded and goaded, and you're being encouraged to go the long mile now. Go the distance. I know you're tired. I know you'd like to sit on the sidelines and drink some cold water, but this is not the time for that. This is the time for getting your second wind. So learn how to rest in the Beloved. When Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he meant let him do the hard burden carrying. He already took everything. So don't grab it away from him. Let him carry it. And you just show up. The less you bring to the table of yourself, the better. Be an empty golden chalice so that he can fill you with that living water or that fire of the Holy Spirit. Both metaphors will work. Or that divine nectar. All three. Be the living water, be the fire of the Holy Ghost, and also be the nectar divine, the amritam of immortality. Be that. Let your life ooze that. Be as a flame of fire. And it's not that fire that burns and agitates. It's that fire. You know, on Venus, when we wanted to change our vehicles, we didn't actually have death in the higher realms, but we had what's called the Moxon flame or the ascension flame. I remembered it when I was like 5, 6 years old. And you would step into it. It was like a purple iridescent kind of silvery ruby flame. And it was the power drive of everything that we used in the Golden Age of Atlantis. And you would just step into it and you would transform into a higher body of light. Of course, there were priests and priestesses that, and your twin flame generally, that would be working with you as you did that. And they would create through their meditation that spiritual body. It's called the Teja Swarupa. And the Tejas is the divine luminosity and fire. You would actually birth yourself into a new manifestation. And that's how we changed form, because who wants to be in the same appearance all the time? And I'm talking about the spiritual subtle bodies and imprints, not necessarily the physical outer appearance, because we could do that with our thought. No, that's no biggie. But the, let's say the soul matrix and imprinting was what could transform into a different manifestation of the spirit kernel or the spirit monad. There's absolutely nothing similar to it on Earth that I could describe. But I know as I'm speaking of it, many of you are having that experience. Oh, there's an incredible book by Maria Corelli, one of the occult classics, called Life Everlasting. And also a small book by Christine Mercy. Can't remember the name of that. But she was a student of... sorry, they pulled a script on it. I can't reach into that. But anyway, what I was going to say is that that experience was told by Maria Corelli as a past life recall. And so if you read the book, Life Everlasting, and it's an old, you know, maybe you can get it in a library somewhere, an old, like the Theosophical Library in Ojai, Crotona, you may find it. But it will decode and activate that recall of the Moxon flame that many of you are familiar with from your home planet, or having come most recently from Venus, as I have. So death, again, is something that we experience on Earth. It's a blessing. It allows us to exit a scene in the holodeck that's become intolerable and to re-enter the holodeck at another time with fresh equipment on. It's not painful for light workers. You go into light. You go with your master. You go with the traveler. You go with the Christ. And it's a beautiful experience. It's nothing to be feared. You've been through death so many times, my heavens. It's no biggie. Ascending this earth is no biggie. The biggie, beloved, is to walk the path with clear intention and not get snagged. Don't get snagged by the temptations of the world. Stay conscious. Don't let the world push you to do things that are out of your stride. You know, when things try remember this, there is never any hurry or worry or urgency in spirit. There's no such thing as a, an emergency. What happens is that when you're tested, you're never given more than you can handle, but we're usually presented with challenges that test us to the absolute max. So we're here on Earth not to repeat the past and to live out of our comfort zone and out of our expertise that we do so easily and so well. We're actually here to master new areas and new skills, or to acquire and expand the kingdom of God to include more and more areas. That's why you're not all asked to be New Age channels or New Age healers or New Age whatever. Many of you are called to go into business, finance, be CEOs of companies, go into the petrochemical industry, be planetary conservationists, whatever. It's not always a spiritual task that, by definition, that you're called to do, because the team of light has to be spread everywhere. And you people who are over there in Europe or Saudi Arabia or on some remote island somewhere, you may be the only spiritual warrior that's consciously working light in that whole area. You have a tremendous call upon your life, a tremendous destiny. So bear in mind, there are no mistakes. You cannot but be at the right place at the right time. There's no exceptions to this except in the ego's judgment. So part of learning to flow with spirit without stress is to trust your process. You know, if you're part of the Traveler's Light team, and you can be part of the Traveler's Light team, all you have to do is say, I want to be part of the Traveler's Light team. Count me in. And then the Traveler, if he hasn't already done so, will find you, and you're on. I doubt if anyone listening to this show over and over again is not part of the Traveler's Light team, because I'm part of the Traveler's Light team, and we tend to gravitate to those who are part of our spiritual family and our spiritual upline. So let's just say that you've been called, and I'm an agent of that call, and the show is an agency through which that call sends its trumpeting. And if you're responding, good, so be it. Your homework assignment, should you wish to accept it, is to purchase the DVD, Spiritual Warriors. It will change your life. It's absolutely the best film I've ever seen. I just watched it yesterday. It's by John Roger, a screenplay by John Roger, the Spiritual Traveler. And you can get it by going to spiritualwarriors.com and order it. I also highly recommend John Roger's book, Spiritual Warriors. And it's number one on the Los Angeles Times bestseller list. So you've got something to read and something to watch to keep this momentum going that we have activated and quickened tonight. Remember, you're on Earth assignment. You are a spiritual warrior. You're one of the commanders in the army of the Lord. And all we have to do is keep our eyes on our commander-in-chief and fight to the finish. And we use, again, the sword of the heart to discern and to walk in the truth of ourself and our nature. So I can't believe how fast this hour went tonight. I hope you enjoyed our topic as much as I enjoyed sharing it with you. Be ever watchful, beloved, because when you're truly alive and joyfully awake, the negative power cannot trap you. So that the loyal forces of the opposition have to come in where you have a negative pattern going. So your major duty is with yourself to love the children of darkness within you and bring them into the light and transcend them through that heart into the divine presence. So we'll go out chanting the Anahu tonight. Take a deep breath. Anahu. 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 So be the living love. Just let loving be your natural response to whatever occurs, and forgiveness, and step free through grace. Walk in the way of the Christ, which is loving forgiveness and grace. And that is easy. As long as you walk in grace, you flow with ease through life. And everything that you need comes to you through grace. God bless you, and God willing, I'll be on the air next week. Adonai.